always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome into Thursday's edition of the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, May the 9th, 2024. It is 4:05 in the p.m. Central Daylight Time. Thanks for joining us at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk. It's a day ending in Y, which means Joe Biden has continued to light the world on fire and add gasoline as he goes. We'll have Steve Bucci to talk about all that and more at 4:25. Chris Harps in studio with me, of course, today, and producer Joey V at the con. How you guys doing?
I'm doing very good, Tim. You're kind of making me and Joey look bad because we're kind of dressed down, and you've got your nice button, or not button down, your nice blue starched dress shirt on there with your St. Patrick's Day tie on. You're overdressing us.
I look great, just so everyone knows. Yes. It's just Chris.
Joey's all buttoned up. I came from the sweatshop, otherwise known as the salt mines, otherwise known as Jefferson City. Chris, I'm happy to report that for the past 3 days, the Missouri Senate and House have both been in session passing bills, which has been an anomaly for this session. But I'll tell you what, when you look back at this session already, there's been some major successes of bills that have been stuck in the legislative pipeline for years. This morning, Governor Mike Parson signed into law the defunding of abortion providers bill with your taxpayer dollars, and the education bill was signed the day before. Right now, they are working through the massive $50 billion state budget. They're on House Bill 2009 in the Senate, which means if they get through all of this today, which that is their plan, the House will take one final vote on these bills. And then, Chris, the one constitutional duty they have to do every year in the Missouri General Assembly will be complete as of tomorrow.
Tim, there was some controversy last week, early this week, about this bill, when the governor was going to sign it. Was the signing of this bill, do you believe, in any, was in jeopardy at all? Was it, did we know that he was going to sign this bill probably before, and there was a deadline connected to it as well?
Tomorrow was the deadline. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was, you never know with Mike Parson. I'm just going to be honest. I know Mike. I serve with him personally, but I haven't talked to him much in recent years. As governor, he hasn't been a hands-on governor walking the halls. Some people may think that's good. Some people may think that's bad. The problem is you don't see him a whole lot in the Capitol. And so you don't get a good read on where he is on certain things. And so people thought he was going to sign this bill. They believed he was going to, but until he did, they weren't sure. It's done. Education bill, done. Defunding of Planned Parenthood, done. There's a huge landfill crisis on the western side of the state, done. So this has been a session that was that has turned itself on its head. It was supposed to be not much of a productive session at all. It's been one of the more productive ones in years. Still, though, Chris, initiative petition reform still pending in the Senate, still needing one more vote. It's been on the Senate third read calendar for 9 legislative days now. They could get to it today after the budget's done. It'll depend on how late they want to work into the evening. Yeah. Next week, next Friday, 6 p.m., is the end of the General Assembly's regular session. I can't believe it. It feels like you and I were just there yesterday opening up the session under the Capitol Dome.
It is amazing. It has been a quick 5 months, but it usually does. It kind of started off not looking too promising with what was going on in the Senate, but some important things have been passed. Education, this bill that the governor signed yesterday, things that are very important. We hope that the IP reform can get over the finish line as well. And I'm sure legislators up there, Tim, because you're a former one, hope that this budget can be done so there won't have to be a special session.
Doesn't look like there will be at this point. They're already, they're now on House Bill 10. So I think there's a total of 18, but they're the last few. I think they'll click through pretty quickly. So things are moving, and we'll keep people posted on that. Chris, another thing, another bill, the anti-ranked choice voting bill, which will be a proposal that will go to voters. It is one vote away in the House. And that'll be up next week on the House's docket. And from what I'm hearing, it sounds like the floor leader, John Patterson, will be bringing up Senator Ben Brown's Senate resolution. And that could get across the finish line as well. Could be another huge victory next week.
And if I remember correctly, isn't the compromise within that bill is that City of St. Louis and Kansas City, I think St. Louis has sort of a ranked choice voting type of scheme, that they will be able to keep it if this passes?
That was the way they got it. That was the way they got it around a Democrat filibuster. Right. Yes, they're leaving this. They're holding St. Louis City harmless. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Well, that's not a good idea, but it was the only way they were going to get that out. I think Senator Brown made a good decision there. So if that one little piece, one little tiny blue spot in the state, you know, I hear a lot of Democrats don't like this. And you're right. It's kind of a ranked choice voting thing. It's a kind of a bizarre approval choice, ranked choice. I'm hearing a lot of Democrats don't like it, but until they decide to change it themselves, they're going to be stuck with it. The rest of the state, though, will be free of ranked choice voting in the with constitutional protection.
Which they should, because there's already enough leeriness regarding voting as it is. You don't need a system where you need a math degree to figure out who won an election and it takes 2 and 3 weeks to find the results. You're just asking for trouble with something like that, and we don't need it.
You sure are. You sure are indeed. Back to the top headlines of the day. Steve Bucci will be joining us at 4:25. Joe Biden continues to step in it when it comes to all things international foreign policy and domestic security. Steve Bucci, our visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation, who focuses on those issues and so much more, can help us break it all down. Benjamin Netanyahu saying today, Chris, that, you know what? If the U.S. helps us, we appreciate it. If the U.S. doesn't want to help us, we will carry on. We've been around for decades. We intend to be here for many decades more. And I think Netanyahu's just disappointed that Joe Biden can't figure out what side of the coin he's on. Joe Biden's being dragged one way by the hard left, another way by traditional Democrats and the Republicans. And like he does on every international foreign policy issue, Joe Biden seems to continue to screw this one up.
You know, former Senator Jim Talent of the Reagan Institute has said this many, many times, that the Jews after the Holocaust have said never again. They will not allow themselves to be in a situation where they can be a mass genocide occurs. And they are doing what they have to do, Tim. They cannot have a peaceful society with having genocidal maniacs on their border. They have to clear these people out. They can't worry about what the United States thinks. They can't worry about what the world thinks, because the world is not living next to people that want to kill them. And maybe one day the true story will be told, that Hamas is hiding among civilians and building tunnels underneath hospitals and schools and buildings like that. Maybe one day the true story has to be told. But until that day comes, Israel has to do everything that they can to make sure that their people are safe and survive. And that's what Netanyahu and this coalition wartime government is doing, protecting their people.
That is for sure. Israel good, Hamas bad. Joe Biden can't seem to make that simple distinction because of the political problems he has within his own party. So Steve Bucci will talk to us about that, the continued problems going on at the southern border, and so much more at 4:25. At 4:45, we'll, of course, have another edition of Chris's Corner.
Yeah, I'm going to give the latest on the Biden news. A lot of polls coming out this time that I am going to get to it. One thing about Biden's domestic agenda that you think that should be giving him a lot of kudos with the American people, spent a whole lot of money. I'm going to go through that and show how a lot of that money, where it's been sent, and the support that it has garnered among the people is not very high. That will be Chris's Corner at 4:45.
Excellent. Speaker stump speech. I was inspired by some of the topics, Chris, that you and I discussed this week, and I also heard them discussing this on the Mike Ferguson in the Morning Show. Mike, Gabe, and Stell talked about COVID. It's funny. Yeah. It's funny how those of us on the center right side of the political world continue to bring up COVID and the fact that we don't have many answers. There was a lot of stories this week about the origins of the virus and the Wuhan lab leak. There's maybe some criminal aspects of funding of that lab that are coming up, but nobody on the left wants to talk about COVID. They act like it didn't exist. A good friend of mine who's a freelance writer, he's published in Newsweek and the Daily Wire, Peter Roth, he wrote a piece this week that inspired me to quote from and talk about the fact that there have been zero lessons learned from COVID, zero lessons learned, because I'm afraid we will, as a human race, encounter something like this again. I hope not. But when something like this pops up again, I wonder if we will take any of the lessons learned from COVID. It seems like we haven't learned much as far as the government goes to this point. At 5:25, we'll be treated by an appearance of Stewie Rosenblum, our good friend Stewie, who is the originator, the creator of the Bagel Loan. Stewie will be in to talk to us about some of the news of the week regarding the Fed. The Fed, Chris, saying, hinting they may have to raise interest rates again because inflation, Biden's inflation is not going away. It has reared its ugly head again. I filled up on my way back over here to St. Louis, Chris, gas in mid-Missouri, middle of the country, is nearly $3.50 a gallon for regular.
Yeah,
so there
and
you have it.
It's going to continue to go higher because we're heading towards the summer driving season, and prices, of course, will only continue to go up if the war over in Hamas or in the Middle East continues to escalate. You can see gas prices going even higher this summer, so not looking good.
Right after we wrap up the Stewie interview, or also talk to Stewie about the Bagel Loan and what that can do for you. If you're in the market for looking, you can still buy homes these days, folks. You can still get them financed, and your best bet is to go to Stewie these days. I'm gonna have to skedaddle and let Joey and Chris wrap up the show because I'm gonna go to a town hall tonight, Chris, featuring former he's still in office. Justin Sparks, current representative Justin Sparks. I had a brain cramp
former
there. Former police officer, I was going to say. Yes, that's what I was going to say, because he's going to talk about crime, law and order. Former police officer, current state representative Justin Sparks. You just heard him on Columbo and Katie. He's going to be joined by Will Scharf, candidate for attorney general. They're going to do a little town hall. If you'd like to visit with us, we're going to be out at the Marianist Retreat Center, which is right near my hometown. It's in Wildwood. It's on Highway 109, right near the Hidden Valley ski resort area. So we're going to have a little town hall this evening. And Joey and Chris, they may talk about this Fall Guy movie in the last segment.
Who knows?
Is this something we should... that everybody's going to want to tune into?
Of course. Everyone wants to see the Fall Guy. I mean, you guys watched the Major show back in the day, didn't you?
Oh, is this based on that?
Next thing you know, they'll be redoing, making a $6 million man movie. That's sacrilegious. That was my show back in the day. Love $6 million.
You don't know if it's any good. I'll tell you. It's actually a lot of fun.
You know, Tim, speaking of Law and Order, and you know, here at News Talk SDL, we say we're number one for live and local talk. So I got a local story on. I want to get all of your thoughts on it. Just read this story here in the paper about the city of St. Louis is going to set aside $350,000, to help people pay for, registration and tags that are late. So we won't have all these people with licensed temporary plates from like 2021, 2022. $350,000. If you're a scofflaw, you don't want to pay your taxes, City of St. Louis will pay your registration for you. I'm sure this is part of the Rams money, I presume, Tim. So your thoughts on helping your fellow man pay his registration taxes?
Is this kind of like
fellow citizen?
Is this like amnesty? Is this kind of like amnesty?
No, it's just, hey, I can't pay my taxes. Can you give me $100?
Okay.
Sure.
How many times are we going to do this? Right? The problem with this, Chris, is once we do it once, people are going to expect that we're just going to, the government's going to just do it again. And you know what, Chris? Let's just get rid of it, right? If we're not going to enforce it and we're just going to have the government pay for it, let's just get rid of it and let's just return to the Wild West. I don't know. I bet David Stokes, who we'll speak with next week, our director of municipal policy, he probably thinks this is a bad idea, and I'm not sure I don't like it either.
Joey, you could chime in here. How does Tashar Jones said that this makes the roads safer? Because we need all three of us put our heads together here to figure this
out.
How does this make the roads safer?
I'm always worried when Tashar Jones is filming these social media videos, because when she was bragging that she signed the red light cameras in the law, she was in the middle of Tucker just spinning around in circles in the middle of the street. I'm like, someone's going to hit that lady if she's not careful.
She did a photo op in the paper. She did an event yesterday where she's got, it was an event with the St. Louis Soccer Club players, the four of them. You know, the colors are pink or magenta, so she wore a similar dress, and she's got her high heels on top of a soccer ball.
Oh, wow.
Looking kind of sassy there, Mayor Tish. So.
Is she able to spin around in the street because nobody lives in the city of St. Louis anymore? There's no more traffic.
But she just went to Canada for an exploration mission also and brought some barbecue from Sugar Fire with her. It was weird that she was in Canada trying to figure out what we need to do here in St. Louis.
Well, you know, it's a trade mission, Joey.
I think she's going to move there. Just mayor remotely.
I'm glad.
Maybe she was up there visiting Kim Gardner.
Maybe that's where Kim is.
Because they are homies.
She is.
They are friends.
You know what? That's a great idea, Chris. Maybe Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick should call Mayor Tashara Jones and ask the mayor where her bestie Kim Gardner is. So
where your homie at?
Yeah. Why can't I find her? Is she still on the lam?
She's on the lam still. And apparently, I guess she didn't get a nursing job because, I mean, you can't just take off and nobody find you when you're like a nurse at a hospital,
good
can you?
Good point, too.
And you would think somebody would say, drop a dime and say, hey, I work over at DePaul and Kim Gardner works the night shift.
Is Megan Green still unemployed? Did Wash U suspend her last week or something? I think
that's one of those situations where they want to keep her and bring her back on, but like kind of lay low, let things kind of die down, and we'll ease you back in.
Maybe tell her to take a paid vacation. Mm. You know that
I think she was adjunct though.
Was she just adjunct?
Yeah, she was adjunct.
Okay, all right. Well, you can fire adjunct professors.
Oh yeah,
I agree with you though. I think they're just going to tell her to hey, maybe just shut the mouth for a little bit. So, but
let die down for a little bit.
City of St. Louis continuing to show us that why our good buddy Greg Keller always says Democrats can't govern for you know what. You know, Greg often has examples of that on his Twitter X feed. So, well, Chris, it is about 4:21 in the PM. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Thursday. What a beautiful day! Mm-hmm. Boy, did we
little nip in the air.
Boy, did we deserve this though after the Armageddon of the last few days. So, Steve Templeton saying it's going to be a pretty nice weekend, and you'll get that full forecast tomorrow on Columbo and Katie. So that's why you got to listen to News Talk STL all day, every day. Hey, hi to everybody on the Facebook stream. I know Amy's on there pretty early with us this afternoon, and a lot of other folks as well. You can watch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Rumble, smart speakers. Download the app, as we're saying now, and everyone's saying in radio, your telephone is your radio. Just put that app on there, and you can listen to us anywhere on the planet. Chris, let's get to a break here, and we're going to bring in Steve Bucci, who is our foreign policy and national security expert at the Heritage Foundation. We'll talk to him about the world on fire under a Joe Biden administration and more here on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Boeing has been criticized a lot for allegedly having a culture of putting profits and speed of production over passenger safety. Would you say that the same mentality then applied at Spirit, which is Boeing's number one contractor?
Well, Spirit was part of Boeing at one point. And I think the culture wasn't something that they became a new factory and the culture over time became bad. I think when they deviated from Boeing, a lot of the leadership was still there. They weren't focused on the consequences of shipping bad fuselages. They were just focused on meeting the quotas.
4:27 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. We've heard of all the troubles that Boeing has had. We also know that Boeing makes military aircraft as well. And I wonder if the government is worried about deficiencies in those planes. The world is on fire, Tim. United States government has halted munitions to Israel. We've got the perfect person on the line to discuss that and much more.
Steve Bucci, visiting fellow for special ops at the Heritage Foundation.
Oh, yes. What were you about to ask me?
Do you expect me to talk?
Steve Bucci joins us. Yes, Steve, we expect you to talk and give us your wisdom first on Boeing. Boeing has had a lot of trouble with their civilian aircraft. Is the government worried about some of their military aircraft made by Boeing?
Well, I hope someone at least is going, we need to go back and double check and make sure. Because, you know, if there's those kind of flaws in their assembly process that have popped up repeatedly now, sadly, you know, for our biggest manufacturer of aircraft in the country, they make a lot of stuff for the military. And you're absolutely right. This is an issue that the military needs to be sending out some notices to the air or aviation elements in particularly in the Air Force, but also the Navy, and say, look, let's check these aircraft. Let's double check to make sure that some of these same types of mistakes have not been made in those aircraft. And to not do that would be foolish. So I'm hoping that's what they're doing. I don't know that for sure. But I would be very surprised if it were not being done right now.
And as you know, Steve, Boeing makes a lot of fighter aircraft here in St. Louis.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's, I mean, believe me, it doesn't make me feel good to say that Boeing's having these kind of issues. Boeing was always, you know, the rock in aviation manufacturing, sort of the standard. And this stuff that's been happening of late is very distressing, both, you know, if you're a stockholder in Boeing or, you know, one of its employees or one of the people that either flies their aircraft or rides around in the back of them, like I did most of my career. It's not something that should make anybody, you know, happy that this is going on.
Mm-hmm. Steve, another thing that none of us are happy about today was when we woke up to see the headlines that Benjamin Netanyahu is basically saying the quiet part out loud. And it's really a shame given it's more, and it's even more than that. It's troubling. It's troubling on the international stage that Benjamin Netanyahu today had to say that Israel will just stand alone if necessary after Joe Biden threatened to withhold weaponry from them. First of all, Steve, could you explain what exact, if you know, I'm not sure Joe Biden knows on most days what he's saying or doing, but what kind of weaponry are we talking about here? How troubling is this? And are we continuing to see a dismantling of the longstanding relationship that the U.S. had with its best and most free ally in the Middle East?
Well, it's really distressing. I mean, just what, a day or two ago, Joe Biden stood in front of a bunch of national level Jewish leaders on the Day of Remembrance of the Holocaust and said, "We will stand with Israel no matter what, even when we disagree, you know, we basically still have their back." And then 2 days later, he turns around and he doesn't have their back. He just put a knife into it. Very, very troubling, particularly with regard to munitions. You know, we sell aircraft and things like that to the Israelis, but we put assistance agreement, an ongoing flow of munitions, bombs, guided or rocket artillery, and other types of precision munitions. Interestingly, everything that Biden just shut off is exactly what Israel needs to be able to do the fight against Hamas in the way that will limit civilian casualties the most. You know, because they're not dumb bombs. They're very specific, very, very precise munitions. That's what Joe Biden has cut off. So, you know, if his intent is really to protect civilians, he just kind of put the wood to them, too, because Benjamin Netanyahu said, look, our first priority is the protection of the Israeli people and the defeat and removal of Hamas from the game board. And we have to do that no matter what our friends and allies do or say. And that's not going to change. So Joe Biden, I guess, thinks if he can play the bully card with them, that he'll get him to back down. It's baffling to me that Joe Biden is dancing to the tune of not just Hamas, but Iran, rather than cooperating with an ally that you know, you described very aptly as the strongest, most relevant ally we've had in the Middle East ever. And they still are, but at the time when they need us the most, we're turning our back on them. How Joe could have said what he did 2 days ago and then turn around and make this the policy of the country is baffling to me. And I hope Congress, both Democrat and Republican, raise holy heck about it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Steve Bucci, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Steve, we saw the IDF do a military operation where they have taken over the border crossing at Rafah. They said that is not the big operation that they're going to do in the future. One, what are they doing now? What is this a precursor for, from your military expertise? And when do you think they're going to finally go in to Rafah and take out the remnants of Hamas?
Well, this initial operation is sort of closing the noose around those people, not allowing them to get resupplied, through that border crossing. They're still letting, you know, humanitarian assistance get through, which is what everybody says they're worried about. But I guess they're not, you know, there's a little more to it than that. But that is to set up the conditions so that they can enter Rafah and get the remnants of the last four so-called Hamas battalions that are there in Rafah. If they can get those units and capture or kill those fighters, they will have essentially destroyed Hamas's fighting capability. And that's what the goal is. And they also feel that's probably where any hostages that are still alive are being held. And the only way they're going to get them out is to go in and take them. And I would agree with them. Negotiating with Hamas is a fool's errand. They are habitual liars. They lie about the number of civilian casualties that are there. They count all of their fighters as civilian casualties. Their whole purpose in life is to destroy Israel and kill every Jew they can. That is not a good basis for a negotiation in a situation like this. So Israel is doing what they need to do, and it just grieves me that Joe Biden has suddenly turned his back on such a great ally as Israel.
Mm. Speaking to Steve Bucci, who is with the Heritage Foundation, focusing on cybersecurity, military special ops, international foreign relations, and so much more. Steve, I wanted to turn to an issue that I felt like we focused on a lot last year, and we haven't as much this year. It seems that because of the inflammation, to put it mildly, of issues in the Middle East, you know, Americans, especially our media, can only focus on one shiny object at a time. But that doesn't mean that other hot spots have cooled off. Steve, I saw this headline today. China increasing its aggressive moves against Taiwan as the island nation prepares to inaugurate a new president. A fellow by the name of William Lai was elected back in January. Apparently, they have a delay between the time when he takes office, so he's taking office soon. China continues to be very aggressive in its part of the world, and whereas the Middle East is definitely a powder keg because of the issues involving energy, China, many experts say, is an existential threat to the United States. Steve, tell us where we are with China and what it has been doing as to Taiwan.
Well, they are upset because the fellow who won, his party is hard against any sort of concessions to China, any sort of future actions that would look like, you know, the turning over of Hong Kong back to China. That didn't work out so well for the Chinese in Hong Kong. And, you know, as a result, many of them left. A lot of businesses were destroyed. China is using that as a springboard to get into more other countries' economic sphere. And they want to do that with Taiwan as well. But because of this party being even less pro-China than the party that's been in power, the Chinese are now trying to put pressure on them by doing these actions right around the inauguration, sending a message to them, hey, the 800-pound gorilla is still here, and we still think we own you. And frankly, you know, the United States, under this administration, I mean, if they won't help Israel help itself, what are they going to do when Taiwan is attacked? You know, will they wait to see if Joe Biden wins the elections and they can continue to push him, or will they take some action before he leaves office because they feel this may be their best chance to have a weak president in the White House when they do it? I don't know that which way they're going to go, but it is an existential threat. China doesn't really have the capability to attack America proper, but they could attack not just Taiwan, but the Philippines, the Japanese, several other of our Asia-Pacific allies. That would be disastrous for the United States and for the international relations system. We can't let that happen, but right now we have a president whose credibility is pretty weak.
Steve, we're finally getting a possible explanation on why Biden's Iran envoy was suspended, had a security clearance suspended. They're saying that he, quote, allegedly transferred classified documents to his personal email account and downloaded these documents to his personal cell phone. Steve, was this an honest mistake? What does your spidey sense tell you?
It's not an honest mistake. Come on. Everybody gets briefed on this stuff when you get a clearance and you work in the government. It's not like some secret ring knock thing that you only learn once you're there a certain amount of time. That's the most basic security procedures there is or there are. And for him to have grossly violated those, you know, that's a Hillary Clinton level of security violation, guys. And he should not only lose his clearance, he should have criminal charges against him. We have service members from the American military that are in prison right now for doing far smaller security violations than that. This is a political appointee. Now they're trying to make it seem like, oh, this is no big deal and this is not that serious. Yes, it is. It is massively serious. It is an enormous violation of our protocols, our rules and regulations and laws. And for him to have any excuse that, well, I didn't know I couldn't do that, it's a lie. Just like it was with Mrs. Clinton, who, you know, had, you know, to say that she thought she could have had a server in her home that nobody had any oversight on because that was just more convenient. Yeah, it's also a complete violation of security regulations.
Steve, you know, given the fact that we now have pretty much nearly a 3.5 year track record of the Biden administration and its reactions and positions on all things national security, international foreign policy, you know, just like the record we have on the economy, none of it seems to be any good. I'm not sure anybody can point to anything and go, yeah, they did a good job handling X. Steve, do you think that, you know, even though foreign policy, unfortunately, by the time the election rolls around, kind of drifts towards the bottom of voter concerns because they're worried primarily, you know, understandably so, about pocketbook issues and what's going on here at home, given the amount of issues and the amount of chaos going around the globe and Biden's inability to manage any of it, do you think foreign policy, national security will rise, you know, towards the forefront of voters' minds this year with less than 6 months to go to the election?
I hope it will have more effect than it normally does. But, you know, truth be told, Biden's, you know, performance in domestic issues isn't a heck of a lot better than his foreign affairs prints.
For sure.
You know, it depends a lot on how hardcore people on the left side of the spectrum, you know, how much they hate President Trump. And, you know, that they would rather, you know, put Rasputin in the White House than, you know, put Donald Trump back in there, and that they would be willing to reelect Joe Biden. That's the wild card. Obviously, the people who are in the center, who are, you know, the undecideds normally or the unaffiliated with one party or the other, how are they going to vote? But there are tons of voters from minority groups that traditionally would vote Democrat that are not going to do it this time because they sit there and go, Joe Biden didn't do anything to help us. I can't vote for him again. Things were better under President Trump. I'm going to vote that way. I don't know how Joe Biden could win again, even against President Trump with all of the negatives that some people impute to him. But we'll have to wait and see. Our elections are almost always surprises. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Steve, before we close out here, and I hate to put you on the spot like this, but what are we going to be talking about next Thursday, do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think we will continue to talk about the Israeli situation in Gaza. I hope we're not talking about China other than in the speculative sense. I hope they won't do anything. But I do think that it's likely we'll be talking about Iran because I think Iran is going to be the most emboldened group of our adversaries looking at what's going on they have to believe they have Joe Biden wrapped around their little finger, mm-hmm. Because it kind of looks like that to me. And I think they might be emboldened to take some very, very dangerous action. I hope that's not true. Hope that doesn't come on the table. But I think that those are likely subjects.
Well, Steve, we look forward to that discussion next week. Of course, you're a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. We always enjoy talking with you every Thursday. And hope you have a great weekend, my friend.
You as well. Take care and have a great week.
Thank mm-hmm. you, sir. And Chris's Corner, we're going to go some business, some Biden polls, and talk about his agenda a little bit, how it's not faring so well with the American people. At 5:07, we'll have the speaker stump speech. At 5:24, we're really looking forward to this. I really like Stewie Rosenblum of American Mortgage Corporation, of course, home of the bagel loan. You are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
A grand jury has indicted the suspects charged in Lakin Riley's death. The indictment accuses Jose Ibarra of killing the 22-year-old nursing student while she was out on a run on the University of Georgia campus in Athens. Court documents accuse Ibarra, who authorities say is in the country illegally, of going to an apartment on UGA's University Village housing building where he peeped through a window and spied on a university staff member the same day. The Athens Clark County Grand Jury indicted him on several charges, including malice murder, kidnapping with bodily injury, and peeping Tom.
4:51 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. I cannot get into Chris's Corner, Joey, until I ask you, what show was that that you brought that in with? What show is that?
Our third favorite lawyer show, Perry Mason.
I thought that was, and the prior clip with Steve Bucci.
Was our first favorite, Matlock.
Matlock. Okay. I knew that, it's funny, you hear those songs and they get in your head and you're like, I know what it is, but I don't know what show it is. I've heard it a thousand times. Okay.
Chris, if folks are wondering why in the world Joey is on this theme today, all you got to do is go to our exactly. Facebook page, our show page, or our Twitter page. It'll all make perfect sense. So check out any one of those.
And don't make the mistake. That is not Clarence Thomas next to Tim Jones. That is me in the judge's role.
We looked really good in that photo.
We did.
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was a high school graduation. I was looking at it from a distance on Joey's computer. I was like, why do you have me in a cap and gown or something? Are you trying to make me younger or what?
Your Honor.
We brought in that clip about the poor young lady, Lakin, who was murdered by the illegal immigrant in Georgia. We know that crime and the border and things of that nature are going to be huge in this election. Polls have showed, Gallup polls have showed that immigration and the economy are the top two issues facing this election. We're going to go into Chris's Corner here and give you a few polls, a little update on what's going on.
Chris. And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
Earlier this week, there was a new ABC News Ipsos poll that came out. It showed that President Biden narrowly leading Donald Trump 49-45%, which, of course, is within the margin of error. According to this poll, Trump is outmatching Biden on trust to handle 6 of the 10 issues that the survey asked about. Within this poll, they coined a new term called the double haters. Double haters is how ABC News refers to the large number of voters who like neither Joe Biden nor Donald Trump. It showed that Trump leads Biden 46-44%. Among likely voters, Biden leads Trump 49-45%. Also within this ABC News poll, 81% of voters think that Biden is too old for another term, while only 55% feel the same way about Donald Trump. I saw a clip today of John Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
The John comic Stewart, yes. That there is a clip of him from a comedy show where he said the quiet part out loud and said that Joe Biden is too old to be president. We all know this. Why are we whistling past the graveyard, mm-hmm. basically, which I thought was very, very interesting. There's also a Quinnipiac poll. Oh, I said it correctly. Usually I say it the other way. The president, Biden, leads Trump 50-44% in a head-to-head matchup. But if there is a third-party candidate that's in the race, Biden's holds a 40-39% over Trump. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes 12%. Jill Stein takes 4%. And Cornel West getting 1%. Speaking of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., within the double hater vote, he gets 38% of the double hater vote. Also speaking of Robert F. Kennedy, make sure that you hold on to the end of the show. We've got a very interesting medical update on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. If you haven't heard it, it's very, very bizarre. When we do play it, I suggest that you are not eating, you're not at your dinner table, you're not in the drive-through window or anything.
So can the kids be in the room?
The kids can be in the room, but you don't want to probably have any food near you when we tell you about this bizarre incident with RFK. And that, Joey V, is Chris's Corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yes, I know. I think I know what you're talking about. So folks are going to want to hang on for 5:45.
You know what? Short. Tim, I forgot that you're leaving early. So let's just go ahead and play it.
Okay, we got the clip. Joey. Yeah. This is the clip about... Okay, so put all your food down.
Yeah.
Finish chewing. Because here's the medical update of RFK.
Yeah.
Tonight, new questions about the health of independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. after he claimed a doctor discovered a dead worm in his brain. According to the New York Times, Kennedy testified in a 2012 deposition that he experienced memory loss at the time, saying, "I have cognitive problems, clearly." Kennedy said one of the doctors said it could have been caused by a worm that got into my brain and ate a portion of it and then died. Kennedy testified he also suffered from mercury poisoning around the same time.
Tim, I know you.
Hell no.
Tim, I know you went to law school instead of medical school, but is that possible for a human being to live with a worm eating your brain?
So I stayed at a Fairfield Inn last night, so I might be able to help you here. Chris, is this guy for real, or is this whole thing a psyop? You know what I mean? Are we getting played by this RFK Jr. candidacy? This whole thing is devolving into weirdness, you know?
And it's getting weirder and weirder, but every day you pick up any of the political newspapers or political tip sheets, and Robert F. Kennedy is on another ballot somewhere around the country.
So as you pointed out, the double haters are gravitating to him, huh?
If 38% of the double haters said they would vote for RFK Jr., or as we like to call him, Wormwood. You are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Harb Show on 101.9 941 Newstalk STL. Speaker Stone Speech up next at 5:07.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.